As always, we are excited and delighted to be with you this afternoon as we look forward to going to God's Word to find out the answers to the questions that may be on your heart today. This is a live call-in radio broadcast where you can call in your question. We will do our best to let the Bible speak. Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That is the number to call, 308-9564. It is August 12th, 2012. We are live. So go ahead and call in your question right now, 308-9564. We say over and over again, and we can't say it enough, that as we give these scriptures and we say the things that we say, it would be to your advantage to make sure that you're searching these things out. Make sure the things that we say are in fact true. Do not place your faith in man. Place your faith only in God. And so make sure that you go and you check these things out. So if you're able to write down the scriptures, that would be good. If and you're not, and maybe you're driving, maybe there's someone else that's in the car with you that can write down the scriptures that we give. And so that you can go and check these things out. The passage there in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so you want to make sure that your faith is in God. Your faith is in his word. And that you're seeking only to please him. Don't worry about what mom and daddy say. Don't worry about what the preacher say. Don't worry about what the neighbors say. And don't worry about what Nick and Ricky say. Just make sure you do what the Bible say. And so we encourage you so much to go to the scriptures every time without exception for the questions that might be on your mind. If you have a question today, go ahead and call right now before the lines get busy. 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
That is our voice line, and so we would want you to be mindful of. There's two ways to communicate with us on that line. You can either go live over the air, in which if you choose to want to go live on the air, that we would ask two things of you. One, we want to know your name so that we can be courteous and address you by name. Then also, we would ask that you be ready to stand ready to turn your radio down so that you will not be confused and there won't be an echo that will be causing confusion. And so that's the only thing we ask on your part if you want to go live. Either you don't have to go live. You can have your question written down and brought into us. That's the way most people choose to do it. Either way, we're waiting for your questions. This is a live broadcast, and so now is your opportunity to communicate with us. And we will be glad to go to the Bible for the answers to the questions on your mind. Now, there's another way to also ask your question. If you have a cell phone, you can text us your question at 725-9283. That's 725-9283 from your cell phone to be able to text us your question. Either way, we are happy to be able to get your question in. We will go to the Bible for the answer. The reason it is so very important that we find the answers is in the Bible is because that one day you and I and every one of us, we will be able to meet God face to face and we will be judged according to the things written in his word. We'll be judged according to the things that he has told us to be and to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 or chapter 5 and verse 10, we see the Lord telling us about that event that is coming up when he says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to that which he has done, whether good or bad. We're going to be judged based upon what his word says, whether it is good or bad, and God alone has the right to decide what good and bad is. And so we've got to make certain that we are doing what is good as he defines what is good, or we're avoiding those things that are bad as he says those things are bad. And mind you, sometimes those things may not be like man sees it. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8 and 9, he says that God says, my ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways higher than your ways. So we do not have the ability to discern right and wrong by ourselves. Jeremiah put it this way in a prayer, Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. He said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not within man that walketh to direct his own steps. So, my friend, let me encourage you to look to the Bible for those answers. Do not, I repeat, do not look to man for those answers. And that includes us here on the radio. If we do not give you book, chapter, and verse, then discard it, throw it away. Or if we take a verse and we misuse it in some way, then you would be our friend to point that out to us. Because if we by chance say or do something or teach something that's not in accord with God's word, then God himself tells us that we will be penalized with a curse, if you will, a super curse. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, Paul, by inspiration, writes, including himself, when he says, "Even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you," that would be 2,000 years ago, "anything new, if we preach anything new, then we are to be accursed." It was so important, God himself instructed him to write it down again in verse 9. As we said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what was preached to you, let him be accursed. So God is not fooling when he says we've got to stick with his word. And thus, that's the purpose of this program, to let the Bible speak. So, my friends, let's get ready. Get your pencil, paper, get ready to write down the answers to the questions that are on your mind, and we will go to the Bible for the answers. And we do not make any apology for that, so get ready. Let us see what God has to say to the questions that are on your mind. We're going to be focused some today on two events or two examples in the Bible, and so we're going to be coming back to this over and over again. Because we know that there are some of you out there that are wanting to please God. That is evident by the Bible correspondence course that we send out, and the many of you that are so diligent to send those out and to send them back. And we are glad to be working with you as you study God's Word. But also, some of the people that we meet, some of you that when we get the pleasure to meet you face to face, Your desire to study God or to study God's word and to try and please God is so very evident. And so there's a couple of examples that we would like to hold out as examples of what we should be like. One is in Acts chapter 8 and the other is in Acts chapter 10. One was a man from Ethiopia. We're going to look at his character some today, and also the character of Cornelius. And so we want to hold them out as examples of what we are to be if we are to be pleasers of God. If we're to show ourselves approved unto God, then we need to look and see what characteristics God approved and that we might be able to be like these individuals as well. So we're going to be looking, thinking about, and discussing them throughout the day as we get your questions in. By the way, the lines are now available. Now is your opportunity. Some of you know that at the end of this program, the questions tend to pile up, and we have to quickly give answers to those questions. So please go ahead and call in right now, and you do not have to wait in line for your question to be answered. The number, 308-9564, that is the voice line, so go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283.
We have a caller from last week, a question from last week. It says, why 20 years ago the church was real modest? Why the church allows so much worldly things in it? Well, the church that Jesus Christ built has not. And I think it's hard for us sometimes to put things into perspective. There is a church that Jesus built in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus talks about how that he was going to build his church in verses 16 through 18. And so Jesus did build that church. That church was established in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And folks were added to it, Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. But not just folks, not just any old folks, but it was the saved. The Bible says that the Lord added the saved to the church daily. And so those that were being saved were being added to the church, and that's the church that Jesus built. That church, if in fact it is what it's supposed to be, it does what the Bible says. And the Bible does not allow for any type of immodesty. It just doesn't. You know, passages like 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, which speaks to how women are to dress, and then also 1 Peter 3 verses 1 through 3, talks about them wearing clothing or attire or adornment. Adornment is the word that's used. That is with propriety, which is the idea of proper for women professing godliness. And so the Bible does talk about that. It talks about how that they should carry themselves. And in that same passage in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it talks about the men in verse 8, how they should be lifting up holy hands. So what you have, and the idea of them praying everywhere, lifting up holy hands, so they should be there should be a certain behavior. But that behavior should be coupled with that which is holy, holy hands. And so even the men have to conduct themselves, carry themselves in a certain way. I can't help, or we can't help, that people today will not adhere to what the Bible says. The Bible hadn't changed. And so you said 20 years ago, why were people so modest? And now, as we fast forward some 20 years later, why have people changed? Well, because they're not listening to what the Bible says. God has not changed on the subject matter. The same thing that the apostles had in the first centuries, in the church in the first century, is what we have today. And we must adhere to that as well. Now, the question is, why is it being allowed? Well, we have to be cautious just a little bit from this perspective. The Bible doesn't give a specific ruling on articles of clothing. That is to say, you know, your shirt has to be this long, or your skirt has to be this long, or, you know, it can't be this loose. The Bible just doesn't do that. And so some of this falls into the realm of subjectivity. But what I tell people is we always know when we get it wrong. We always know where the line is. And so we just have to be a little bit flexible. I think today we have to be a little bit flexible, but not to the point of allowing lasciviousness or lewdness. It should not be seductive. So all those things are sin, and so we have to be able to find the line in our clothing. But we do know when it's clearly and it's obvious we have gone beyond what the Bible has said. For example, bikini. That goes way beyond modest apparel. And again, those passages like 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, and 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 address that as it talks about the article of clothing or the adornment that should be worn. So I hope that's helpful to you. My point is God's word hasn't changed. So neither shall we. And that should be your stance. And if you're part of a group where they're changing that, you take them back to the scriptures and you hold them to that standard. Again, those passages, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, and 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 5. So join us right now and go ahead and call 308-9564.
We have another way for people to tune in. If you are not aware of this, you can have your friends or relatives that live in other states or even other parts of the world to join us as we study God's Word together. And we would encourage you to contact them right now so they can join right in by the Internet, and that would be through our website. And so we need to make certain that we are helping as many people to come to a knowledge of the truth as possible. So if you have a friend or relative that you would like to join right now and they cannot pick it up on the radio, they can go to our website, which is www.biblealone.com. Bible alone, the two words, but just put them together, no dot or underline or anything between, thebiblealone.com. So www.biblealone.com, and they can hit the live stream button and they can tune in anywhere in the world. Let them know if you do communicate with them right now that this is area code 843. So the phone numbers we give are in area code 843. And again, the web address is biblealone.com. You can also download previous programs there, as well as Bible study materials, as well as the correspondence course. That is a resource for those of you that have the Internet. Again, if you are live and you're local and you want to go ahead and call right now, the lines are available, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
Again, we want to encourage you to take advantage of the correspondence course. That number is 553-5157. That's 553-5157. Join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
Another word about the correspondence course is that it will be in tomorrow's mail. If you desire to get that course free of charge, please remember what's different about this broadcast is that we do not accept donations. We do not expect you to give a donation or encourage it in any way. We want to share with you the wealth in God's Word. You might say, well, that is so strange. There's no other ministry that does that. Well, it's a shame that that is strange. But when it comes down to looking at the way the church or the Christians behaved in the New Testament, you do not see them asking for donations. You do not see them asking or encouraging or even certainly not intimidating people into giving more and giving more and more and passing the plate over and over again. You do not see anything like that. What you see are people that are interested in helping people to go to heaven. That's what the church of the New Testament looked like, and that's what we are to be like. That's what God's people did in the first century, and that's what we should be doing. Matter of fact, in Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, we see the church, as they were scattered abroad, went everywhere teaching the word. And so that's what we should be doing. Getting the news out about the salvation that is only in Christ. It is not about money. Matter of fact, why not just go ahead and take advantage of to learn about that church, to learn about those people that we read about in the Bible by taking the course yourself. You will learn things in that course that you very well may have never heard before. So don't miss out on this. Go ahead and call. There is an operator standing by right now. She'll take your information, and this course will be in tomorrow's mail, Lord willing. So make certain that you do not miss out on this opportunity. Let us send it to you free of charge. We will never ask for a donation, nor do we expect it in any way. So don't take it. Don't miss out on this. Don't miss out on getting this information and studying God's Word for yourself. The number 553-5157. Write that down. If it's busy, just keep calling till you get through. 553-5157 and enroll in this course. So please do not miss out on that. But now if you have a question, you've already received the course, or if you already enrolled, then go ahead and call in your Bible question right now. We are live. Do not miss out on getting your Bible question answered today. Again, the number here for your question is 308-9564, 308-9564, and you can ask your question, either have it written down and brought into us, or you can go live over the air. The choice is yours. Or if you would rather, you can text us if you have a cell phone at 725-9283. We have Latoya calling in a question. This one is left over from last week, we believe. And her question is there scripture that supports women's groups or women's ministries apart from the church? Well, Latoya, there is not a scripture or a passage that would designate a special organization of either men or women other than the church and those that are part of a local flock. There is nothing to suggest that there should be any kind of organization in God's name except for flocks of God's people serving God. Now, is it wrong for women to get together to study the Bible? Well, no. Matter of fact, in Titus chapter 2, women are told to tell, to teach other women that they are to, that they are to teach other women to love their husbands, to love their children, and to be able to bring that about. And that's Titus chapter 2, beginning with verse 2. It brings out, he says, the older women likewise, that they be reverent behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to teach their to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. And so they are to be about teaching. They are to be about teaching other women. And so there's nothing wrong with that. But as far as getting together organizations, many times they will elect officers and positions and become an entity. There is nothing about that in God's Word. And so those are things that are totally foreign to the Scriptures. And I believe that's to answer your question, LaToya. Along this same line, we have Kim calling in this question just now. She wanted to know, is it wrong for women to be pastors? Well, very good question, Kim. We sure do appreciate that. You'll find that also in the book of Titus, in Titus chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. Notice it says, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and support and appoint elders in every church as I commanded you. Now notice, as it continues to explain how to do that, notice the gender. It says, if a man be blameless and the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed. And so it goes on to even in 1 Timothy chapter 3, to talk about their wives, showing very clearly this isn't just talking about man as in mankind, but it is talking in reference to gender. So they are to be the husband of one wife. So, Kim, if a woman can be the husband of one wife, then I guess that would be appropriate. Maybe I shouldn't have said that because we live in a day and a time where all kind of things are going on. But, Kim, I know that wouldn't be twisted in your mind. So the answer to your question is there in Titus chapter 1 and also 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. It talks about the qualities there. And there again, it mentions man and that he is supposed to be the husband of one wife. So, no, they cannot be pastors. The whole problem with this is that many times people look at preachers, pastors, apostles, elders, bishops, overseers, as if that is a position of rank. And one thing that is totally foreign to the Scriptures is the idea of rank and authority among man. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Kim, listen to it closely. Jesus says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. So if Jesus has all authority, then how much do we have? I agree, none. So we are all brethren, and there is no such thing as rank and authority or people being higher, of greater importance, or of higher honor than anyone else. We are to serve as servants, and no one is to be entitled with any rank over anyone else. Well, what about these overseers? Well, you'll notice that is not a position of rank, but it is a position of responsibility. You look at those characteristics, that is a responsibility. For example, I don't know your age, Kim, but if you're a mother, would that make you wear a different hat as a mother? Or if you're a daughter, is that a different responsibility? Or if you're a wife, is there a different responsibility there? A citizen, let's say you've got a job and there you've got, those are all different positions that you are playing that you have to respond to. But does that make you, is any one position give you greater superiority over other people in humanity? And those are just responsibilities that we are to hold, and thus we have those responsibilities, and we have to do different things according to those responsibilities. That was not a very good illustration, I'll admit that. But my point there, I think you get, and that is, among the kingdom of God, Christ has all authority, and we are all brethren. We each have different responsibilities according to our gender and according to those responsibilities that we will accept. And so we've got to respond that way. As a citizen versus a father or a mother or dad and such. And so those are responsibilities that we must fulfill based upon those roles that we play. Kim, thank you so much for your question. The answer is no. There is no such thing as that in the Bible. There's supposed to be the husband of one wife. And the idea of anyone having rank or authority over someone else is also foreign to the New Testament. Thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate you joining us and calling in your question. By the way, those of you that are calling and listening, this is a live broadcast. So now go ahead and take your opportunity to ask your question, and we'll go to the Bible for the answer as we let the Bible speak. The numbers are, for the voice line, 308-9564, or if you'd rather text us, 725-9283, and we'll let the Bible speak.
We have a call calling in today with a couple of questions. The question is, can pastors receive half of the tithe? And if so, should they tithe? I think when I answer the first question, you'll be able to draw the conclusion concerning the second one. When we think about tithing, tithing is something that was done under the law of Moses. It was not part of the New Testament church. And so when we look at the church, and the church is governed by the New Testament law of Christ, you don't see the church ever tithing. And so that's not something that the church does. But we do see that concerning the priests, that the priests in the Old Testament, when they did tithe, that money did go to the Levites. If you look at Numbers chapter 18, verses 24 through 26, it says, "For the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer up as a heave offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites as an inheritance." And so this was part of what the Levites were going to receive. Now, that money was going to be used absolutely for the upkeep of the tabernacle and those things concerning the temple of God. But notice that in this text, he does say, "I give it to them as an inheritance." When we fast forward to the New Testament, we see that those who do serve as pastors or overseers, bishops, that's the term the Bible uses, all those roles are the same, that they are in fact worthy of some type of payment for their service. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 14, it says, "Even so the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel." That idea of live of the gospel, the idea of earn a living from the gospel. In verse 15, "But I have used none of these things," Paul said. And then finally, if you look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, you'll note in verses 17 and 18, again, it reiterates that the elders, the overseers, the bishops, the pastors, again, were worthy of a wage. In verse 17, it says, "Let elders who rule well be committed, worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine." Verse 18, "For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wage." And so where that money is going to come from is going to come from the offering or the collection that occurs on the first day of the week. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6, 7, and 8. I hope that's been helpful to you. It's time for us to take a break, but even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to call in your questions. Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That's the number to call, 308-9564. We'll be right back. Go ahead and take advantage of the correspondence course. Go ahead and call 553-5157. We mentioned this course probably a lot, and the reason for that is, again, this is one of our major tools to aid you in studying the Word of God. It's something that you can do at your own pace, so it's a little less threatening. It's not us coming into your home. It's not us calling you on the phone. You can go and you can study. You reach out to us. We'll call and make sure you got the study. And if the material is too easy for you, then we'll offer you perhaps more material that may be more challenging for you. Our goal is to aid you in the study of God's Word. That's the most important thing. You come to know about God. You come to know about His will so that you can become a student of His, a disciple of His. But it is difficult to be His disciple if you don't know what He teaches or what He says you ought to do. And so Jesus' intent was for His disciples, according to John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, to remain or abide in His word. And He says, "Then shall you be my disciples indeed." And He says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And it was His intent that people would become His disciple, His student, a follower of His. And the only way for that to happen is to come to a knowledge of His word, thereby coming into a knowledge of Him. And so anything that we can do to help you in that, we want to do that, be it the correspondence course, if that's something that you're interested in, go ahead and call 553-5157. Sign up for that. We'll get that out in the mail to you. If you prefer an in-home Bible study, If our schedules will permit, we'll come out and study with you, your family, your friends, and again, give you an opportunity to ask questions. We'll talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one that we read of in the Bible, the one that Jesus came to deliver to his apostles, the one that his apostles preached on the day of Pentecost, you know, that core message. And then we're available to answer any other questions that may come up. And so if that's something that you're interested in, go ahead and call the operator standing by and tell that you would be interested in an in-home study with you and some family or friends, and we'll try to set that up as well if our schedules will allow it. That number again is 553-5157. Join us here at the station with your question. Go ahead and call 308-9564. That's the number to call. Call right now, 308-9564.
We have a text question coming in by the last digits of 783. First of all, thank you for tuning in, and thank you for your question and joining us as we go to the Bible for the answers. Thank you again for your question. Their question is, has Luke ever seen or talked to Jesus? Well, I have to say that I have never even thought about that question before, and I appreciate it very much, and thank you for asking it, because those kind of things cause us to grow and consider things that we've never thought about. And so upon investigation of it, we see nothing in the Bible where Luke ever had the opportunity, or there's never recorded that he ever met the Lord. Matter of fact, as we did a quick history search, there's just no record at all of even when he became a child of God. And so we do not even know when he became a Christian himself. We do know that he became a child of God, and that he started serving the Lord, and that the apostles laid their hands on him. That enabled him to write the book of Luke, and that enabled him to write the book of Acts. And so those two books are ascribed to his penmanship, but of course inspired by God. And so therefore we know that they were able to speak for God. But we have no record whatsoever that they ever met the Lord face to face. That he ever met the Lord face to face. And so thank you for your question. We sure do appreciate that very much. Again, the number is 308-9564. The questions are rolling in now. We do want you to be mindful of that this is a live broadcast, and you can call in your question, 308-9564, or you can text us, even as this question came in, at 725-9283.
Yes, we have another caller called in today. We sure appreciate you calling in. The calls are coming in consistently, and we do appreciate those questions. It says, is there such a thing as hip-hop gospel? Well, a cursory glance of the scriptures does not show any hip-hop gospel. And you know, hip-hop is a genre of music that existed probably for the last, I don't know, 20, 25 years. And so hip-hop existed after the time period of the gospel, and so I don't think that it occurred in that time period. One, two, the gospel message was a spoken message, and so they went about preaching the gospel. When Jesus sent his apostles out, they were to go and they were to make disciples, and then they were to teach them all things whatsoever Jesus commanded. And Dama used that phrase, teach. Now, the only time we see music, when I say music, singing being used in teaching, and specific to singing, is when the church was to teach one another, in passages like Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, Ephesians 5, verse 19, and also Colossians 3, and verse 16, where they were supposed to speak to themselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in their heart. And I think in Colossians it talks about the idea that they're going to be teaching one another in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. And so in that respect, as part of the church engaging in singing, they were going to be able to teach one another through song. But there's no other passage that allows for the gospel to be given by way of hip-hop. There's nothing in the scripture that would allow for that. But that gospel message was to go forth as a spoken message. I hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564.
We have a nameless caller calling in this question. Says, on the judgment day, will God hold people accountable for using Jesus' name to make money? Well, very good question, and probably something that is on many people's minds today, because there are so many churches that are in that process. I believe we can find the answer to that in 2 Peter chapter 3, or chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. But there will also be false apostles among the people, who, or even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth is blasphemed by covetousness. They will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Now, again, I hope you followed the passage there. Be sure you write this down and read it over and over again to get the most out of it. But the key there, I think you'll find in verse 3, and that is, to answer your question, because them being exploiting you, the regular King James uses the word making merchandise of you, they look at you as an item for income, as a means to wealth, and therefore, by that covetousness, it says that their judgment is going to be certain. So to answer your question very, very clearly, the answer there is in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And so a very good question. It fits right into that passage very precisely. And so, again, that's 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. The number again to call in your question right now, the voice line is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak.
Yes, Ben calls in today. Ben calls about 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. He says, is he talking new on the inside or outside? When you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19, the Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Bible is talking about on the inside, and you'll find references concerning this idea of walking in newness of life or being a new creature throughout the Scripture. In Romans chapter 6, upon a person obeying the gospel, being baptized, one of the things we see is that they die, and the idea is they rise to walk in newness of life. In verse 4, Romans chapter 6, verse 4, therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. And note in this text it says walk in newness of life. Every time you find in the Bible where it uses the term walk or walking, it's suggesting how we live, how we behave. And so here's a person that's going to walk in newness of life. They're going to live differently. And so on the inside, there's a change that takes place which is going to be seen on the outside. And so that newness of life is going to absolutely be seen on the outside in the things that you say and the things that you do. You also might consider Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, in the latter portion of those verses, it talks about the things that we ought to put away, the things that we should put on. And it talks about being the old man having died. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, put away lying. You know, verse 26, be angry and sin not. Verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer. And so you have all these changes taking place that's supposed to be taking place in your life, but those changes take place first on the inside, and then they'll be seen on the outside. I hope that's been helpful. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. That's the number, 308-9564.
Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that's on your mind. We have Eric calling in this question. His question is, if someone is sitting in a pool before the preacher submerges them, is that a valid baptism, just as if they were standing in a pool before submersion? Well, and I'm not certain whether your question is dealing with starting from a standing versus a sitting position, or if you're talking about before they are baptized or before they are actually submersed. And so let me just address it. What the key there, the word baptism means immersion, to dip, to plunge, or to immerse. There are some translations out there that actually translate it that way, and thus the word baptizom is not even in those translations because it is a Greek word. And so baptism is the actual immersion. What the purpose of it, though, is what must be understood. If two guys are in a pool, they normally will play a rough house, and many times they will be dunking each other. Does that mean they're being baptized? Well, technically, yes, because they're being submersed or dipped underwater. But the meaning behind it is there's no meaning whatsoever except superiority. So the meaning is what is important. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if it is to be by faith, then it must be in response to what God says. There's a story in the Old Testament that kind of makes this very clear. In 2 Kings chapter 5, there's a story, verses 1 through 19. I won't take the time to read that, but I do encourage you to read it. This Syrian general had leprosy. He was told that there was a prophet that could heal him down in Israel. So he takes his caravan and goes down to Israel, has to cross over the Jordan River to get there. He comes up in front of the house of the prophet, Elisha. Elisha sends a servant out to tell him to go dip in the River Jordan seven times. He gets all upset because the prophet didn't come out in person and wave his hand over it. So he goes off in a huff. A servant comes up to Naaman and says, "Sir, what if he had told you to do some great thing? Would you have done it?" And Naaman said, "Well, yes. Well, then why not do this simple thing?" So he decides, okay, so he has to go over the River Jordan anyway. So they go down to the River Jordan. He dips seven times. As he comes up out of the water, his flesh returns like that of a newborn baby. So here's my question to you, Eric. What if he had actually gone swimming on the way down to see the prophet and had happened to go under seven times before he was ever told to do it by God? Would he have been healed of his leprosy? I agree. No, he would not, because he wouldn't be doing it in obedience to God, because faith comes by hearing God's word. And so God had not told him at that time to do that. Well, what if he had only been, maybe he saw a snake coming about the third time he went under. And so he thought, "I'm out of here. This is ridiculous." And so he didn't actually go under seven times. Would he have been healed then? I agree. Again, no, because he wouldn't have completely obeyed the Lord. The Lord said seven times. Well, part of his argument for leaving the prophet in a huff was, "I've got better rivers than that old muddy Jordan back home." What if he had gone home and used one of his rivers? Would he have been healed of his leprosy? And again, by the same reason, no, because he wouldn't be obeying God. God specified the River Jordan. So what we learn from this, Eric, is that we must do it because God said it, we must do it as God said it, and we must do it completely as God says. And so what God says in the New Testament, after we believe in him, after we repent from a godly sorrow, that we're sorry that we sinned against God to begin with and made Jesus' sacrifice necessary, that should cause a godly sorrow that should lead us to repent, to confess that Jesus is the Lord, and then to be immersed, or using the word submersion, that would be fine too, to be dipped or plunged or immersed underwater for the remission of sins. You might say, "Well, wow, why did you emphasize the word for?" Well, because that is what Acts 2 and verse 38 says, to repent, be baptized for the remission of sins. Or as in Acts 22 and verse 16, Paul was told to arise and be baptized to wash away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And so it was at that point where we are united with Christ, Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, Galatians 3 and verse 27, and that's where we are united with Christ to die with him, and we actually come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. So let's not miss out on the meaning behind it, so that we might be able to show ourselves approved unto God. Again, that's 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 19, and Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. It's time for us to take our next break. We do want you to know the correspondence course that we're about to tell you about is free. We'll be glad to send it to you. You will learn things such as what we're going over today that you may have never heard before that have always been in God's Word. The Bible has been the same. What we need to do is just to get our hearts, our minds into the book and see what God says. So don't miss this opportunity. Go ahead. Take advantage of this. We'll send it to you even in tomorrow's mail. Here's the details on that. Even while we are at break, continue to call in your questions, and we will let the Bible speak. 308-9564, the lines are available, or text us 725-9283. We'll be right back. We are back live now, and we do want you to know that this is a live broadcast, and you are the one who sets the theme for our discussion. We had an idea to begin with, but your questions are keeping that from happening. But go ahead, continue to call in your questions, and we'll continue to go to the Bible for the answer. 308-9564, 308-WJNI. And we'll let the Bible speak. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. And we also will be able to let the Bible speak to the questions that are on your mind. Go ahead and keep on calling in your questions, 308-9564 or 725-9283.
We have a text question that came in. It says, do apostles exist today? So when we look at the scriptures, what we find is that Jesus did select apostles. We later see that one is replaced because Judas would betray Jesus. And then in Acts chapter 1, we see that Judas was replaced by a man by the name of Matthias. And then we also see later that Paul, who was once Saul of Tarsus, he becomes an apostle of Jesus Christ. So God had an intent with these apostles. Once you understand the intent, I think you'll be able to answer the question whether or not there are apostles today. The intent that God had with the apostles is they were going to actually be eyewitnesses of him. Their job was really to testify of him, and they were to go forth and to proclaim that message initially. In John chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16, you'll see that Jesus is sending them forth, but his intent for them was in fact to be a witness of him. In John chapter 15, verse 26 and 27, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to them, that when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also, verse 27, will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. And that was the intent of the apostles. They were to be individuals that had been with Jesus. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you have Jesus reiterating that they were to wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon them and again for them to go out and be witnesses. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. When they went to replace Judas as an apostle, I want you to take a note what the qualification was in order to replace one of the apostles. And again, what you're going to find out is that this person was to be a witness. In verse 21, the Bible says, therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord went in and out from among us, beginning from the baptism of John to the day when he, talking about Jesus, was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And thus, in order to even replace one of the apostles, a person had to be an eyewitness of the resurrected Christ. And in this particular text, they had to have been with Jesus from the time of his baptism. And so unless a person can meet those qualifications today, then a person cannot be an apostle. Now, I think it's interesting to note that the apostles were not just apostles in the sense that they were once sent forth and they were going to be witnesses of Jesus and they were proclaiming the message. But the apostles were also disciples. A disciple is a student or follower of another. And thus, they were disciples, and today we still do have disciples of Christ. And so a person can be a disciple, but it's impossible to meet the criteria or the qualification in order to be an apostle unless you've actually seen Jesus like they saw Jesus in such a way that you can witness of his resurrection, of his baptism with John, of the time that he spent on earth. So I hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. That's the number to call, 308-9564.
We have this question coming in from Dylan. It says, what does the New Testament say about the Old Testament? Well, the first time I read that, I thought, whoa. I don't know if you know this, Dylan, but the book of Hebrews, out of 13 chapters and however many verses that would be in the book of Hebrews, there are more references to the Old Testament in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament than there are verses in the book of Hebrews. So it says a lot about the Old Testament, a lot of quotes, a lot of references. Matter of fact, there would be at least a third of the New Testament that we would not be able to figure out if we didn't have the Old Testament being referred to. And so it is very much a very important part of the New Testament, and that's why we have to study it. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 says, whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And then I thought, well, maybe your question literally means the idea of the phrase Old Testament. So I did a search on that. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, or 3 and verse 14, it says, but their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains uplifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because of the veil was taken out of the way in Christ. Talking about the Old Testament was fulfilled in Christ. The word testament is used again in Hebrews chapter 9, again talking about how the Old Testament versus the New Testament, that now we're to show ourselves approved to God through the New Testament. In Hebrews 9 and verse 16, for where the testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For the testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. So when Christ died on the cross, the Old Testament became old, the New Testament became new, and now we're to live and follow and be answerable to the law of Christ, the New Testament. So that's 2 Corinthians 3:14 and Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13, 16 and 17. If you want further information on this, you might want to read Galatians chapter 3, the whole chapter. Matter of fact, don't stop there. Chapter 3, 4, and all the way into chapter 5. You see those chapters dealing with Old Testament, New Testament relationship. You can imagine what kind of problems occurred in the first century, where all of these staunch Jews were now becoming Christians, and what the old Jewish commonwealth had to say about that. And so there's a great deal in the New Testament dealing with that, and so they had to deal with it with a great deal of detail. And so that's the reason I encourage you to read those chapters as well. Thanks so much for your question. I sure do appreciate that. Now, one thing that you might be mindful of, Dylan, is that the churches today that use the Bible like a smorgasbord, I like this and I like that. I'm going to go to the Old Testament to pull this out because, you see, that will put more money in my pocket. Or I like this because it'll give me a good warm feeling. And we can't treat the Bible that way. We have to treat the Bible the way it says we're supposed to, and that is we must rightly divide it or accurately handle the Word of God. And so let's make certain that we do that as God says. It's time for us to take another break, and we do want you to know that while we are at break, that you can continue to call in your questions, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. Again, while we are at break, continue to call in your question at 308-9564, or if you would like to text us, you can text us at 725-9283. Be mindful, the correspondence course we're about to tell you about is free. We'll get it in the mail to you tomorrow. It will be a study of God's Word, a very good study. You may, and matter of fact, I would even say probably, be able to discover some things in God's Word that you may have never seen before. If you really study these things and study God's Word, then by all means, be sure you don't miss out on getting this course. We'll send it to you tomorrow. Go ahead and call here's the details on it, and don't miss out on learning what God would have us to do here and now to show ourselves approved unto Him. While we're at break, continue to call in your question, 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are back live now, and we're glad to be with you and hope and pray that that you're being blessed from God Himself as we go to the Bible for the answers. Again, we are honored to be able to go to the Bible for the questions that are on your heart. So don't miss out on getting your questions answered today. We are in the process of looking for individuals that look like the seekers in God's Word. In Acts chapter 8, we see a man from Ethiopia who had traveled over between 1,000 and 1,500 miles to come to Jerusalem to be able to serve God, to worship God. He was a humble man in that he was willing to listen to God's Word being taught by even a complete stranger, and even asking questions in the process. He seemed to be a man of industry, or, if you will, diligence, because as he was going down the road, he was reading the Scriptures. And his priorities were right in that those Scriptures that he was reading most likely cost him a small fortune to be able to have in his possession. Not only that, he was hospitable, inviting this man named Philip up into the chariot with him, and he was eager to hear what God's Word says. Does that describe you? That is someone that is diligent to go through great expense, a great deal of effort in order to seek after God, asking questions, being eager to hear what God has to say. Well, my friend, if that sounds like you, then you are to be commended. We're going to look at another character in the Bible as well that shows remarkable characteristics of how to show ourselves approved unto God. We need to be like this man from Ethiopia. We need to be someone of this kind of character. So if you are that kind of character, you will not miss out on getting your answers from God's Word. You will be calling them in right now as we go to the Bible to let the Bible speak. The number is 308-9564. 308-WJNI, and we'll let the Bible speak to the questions that are on your heart.
We have a text question coming in. Last three digits is 900. In fact, this text came in about five different times. We do appreciate your persistence and diligence. The question says, in order to be forgiven of sins, must you be saved? And so to answer that question, I actually got to flip that around a little bit. In order to be saved, you must be forgiven of sins. Now, the passage that supports that idea is Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, when the gospel was preached, after Jesus has resurrected and ascended into heaven, the gospel is preached for the first time here. What you have is the establishment of the church, and folks are told what they need to do. In verse 37, when they heard this, and well, what did they hear? They heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, how that Jesus died and he was buried and he was resurrected, and that shows up there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 29. Where he talks about that, and then you see kind of a climax in verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So upon hearing the gospel, they knew they needed to do something, and here's what they're told to do. In verse 38, he says, then Peter said to them, repent. That word repent means to have a total change of heart. It's the idea of turning away from your sins. You repent. And then he says, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For, the idea of for here, there's a reason behind this. He says, for the remissions of sins. The word remission means removal. And so these folks had to repent and be baptized in order to have their sins removed. You read the text, you'll see that that's what it says. And he goes on to say, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, he continues on in this text, and he gets down to verse 41. The Bible says, and those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And so these folks heard the gospel, they obeyed the gospel, they were baptized, and thus their sins were forgiven. And were they saved? Well, according to verse 47, the Bible says they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And so, yes, folks were being saved. And thus, in order to be saved, a person has to gain the forgiveness of their sins. The only way to gain forgiveness of your sins, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, a person must repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. A very good question. We sure appreciate you texting that question in. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. That is the number to call, 308-9564.
Or you can text us at 725-9283. Either way, you will be glad to. We'll be glad to get your question, and we'll go to the Bible for the answer. We have William calling in this question. William, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for joining us and your desire to find out what God says. His question is, if a pastor is about to be remarried, Is he still fit to be a spiritual leader? Well, I'm going to just go right to the verse of Scripture, so hopefully you're writing this down and you can study it for yourself. We've already read it once today, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, I would encourage you to read. But the verse that answers your question is that a pastor, overseer, bishop, all of those are the same office in the Bible. They're used interchangeably. And I'll give you verses on that in just a second, but let's go ahead and read verse 2. A bishop, then, is to be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. So you look and see all of these characteristics on down in verse 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And you see that the one of the very first things that's mentioned is that he's supposed to be the husband of one wife. And so you look at that. What does that look like? Well, I've known a lot of people, even in my family, that said, well, I'm only married to one at a time. And I've heard people say that. But you and I, hopefully both of us, agree in that the fact of the matter is one wife is one wife. And so we need to make certain that we're just going to show ourselves approved unto God, and we do not want to walk in questionable territory. We want to walk in pure, the straight and narrow path that leads into life. And the very fact of having just one marriage shows the need there of them to want to be a leader. And so we do not want to lead people to multiple marriages, obviously. We want to lead people into what Jesus said about what marriage should be. One man with one woman for life. And so, William, I hope that's helpful to you. Again, I would encourage you to read Matthew 19, verses 3 through 12. Matthew 19, 3 through 12, talking about even how marriages do tend to break up and what Jesus has to say about that. Now, the idea of bishops, overseers, pastors, presbyters, elders, all being the same group of men. I would direct you to 1 Peter, chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, where Peter was an elder as well, and he says in chapter 5, verse 1, he says, now to the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also a fellow elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker of the glory to be revealed. So he refers to himself as a fellow elder. Then he says, shepherd the flock of God, or that's the same word as pastor. Pastor of the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers. The word overseer and bishop are the same word. So all three Greek words referring to this same office or this position or this role in which they were playing. So there Peter refers to himself as an apostle, as a saint, and also as an elder or shepherd, overseer over a flock. And so there we can see they're all one and the same. They're just different ways to refer to their responsibilities when they step into that role. Again, that's 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, 1 Peter 5 verse 1 and 2, and then also dealing with multiple marriages, Matthew 19 verses 3 through 12. Thanks, William. We sure do appreciate your question. Again, the numbers are 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we'll let the Bible speak.
Yes, we have a text question coming in, last three digits, 213. It says, will I go to hell if I get a divorce, even though in the Old Testament, certificate of divorces were granted? Well, caller, we sure appreciate you calling in. You are correct. In the Old Testament, there was a certificate of divorce that could be given, and Jesus seems to address that in Matthew chapter 19. But also in Matthew chapter 19, Jesus would go ahead and put in place a new law concerning marriage. And so then let's just listen to what he says. In verse 8, he says to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I think Ricky just talked about this. From the beginning, God created one man, one woman, for life. And in the time of Moses, under the law of Moses, the Old Testament, Moses permitted a divorce by way of certificate, allowing them to have a certificate of divorcement. And then Jesus says in verse 9, and I say to you, and so that's the law that we live under. We live under Christ's law, what James calls in James chapter 1 and verse 25, the perfect law of liberty, We live under this new covenant. So here Jesus is speaking, and he is legislating. He is giving law, law to which we are all held to. In verse 9, he says, "And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality or fornication," he says, "and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery." And so if I don't get divorced lawfully, according to verse 9, the way verse 9 is written, that is to say my spouse has gone outside the boundaries of the marriage, and then I'm getting divorced as a result of that reason, that's to say they have cheated on me, then the Bible says I am guilty of adultery. And so I don't want to be in that situation. You ask, am I going to hell? The Bible teaches us that anyone who violates God's law is going to be in danger of hellfire. And so we don't want to put ourselves in a situation where we're in danger of hellfire. The Bible talks about God punishing the wicked in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. For the Bible says, "For if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved under judgment." And then it continues on to talk about the people of Noah time. And then it continues on to talk about the people of Lot time. God will deliver the wicked to destruction. And all that's in that text. So you keep reading. And so the last person we want to be, or the last grouping of people we want to be in, is that of the wicked. We have to do what God says. I hope that's been helpful to you. If you want us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564.
We have Leo calling in this question. Who gave the Ten Commandments, and was anything missing from them? Well, Leo, thank you for your question. God, of course, is the one who gave the Ten Commandments. You can read them several places in the Bible. In Exodus chapter 20, I think, is the very first place. And you can see that there. And God used Moses to write those things down. The first five books of the Bible were penned by Moses. God inspired him to write those things down. So was there anything missing? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, it says, talking to Timothy, he says, "And that from a childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." So there is talking about Timothy knowing the Scriptures, and then notice the continued, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God," that include the Old Testament Scriptures, and specifically referred to there that Timothy knew, is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped to every good work. So does that sound like anything was missing? No, it doesn't, does it? Matter of fact, even in the New Testament, we see 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, according to his divine power, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. According to the knowledge of him, he's called us that we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. I'm going to turn to that because I just messed it up so bad. That's 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. "As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who's called us by glory and virtue." And so we have all that God wants. Sometimes people, or the devil today, is really having a heyday trying to get people to abandon the Scriptures as the only standard and get people to go after other writings. And there is nothing new about this. Every few years I hear a whole slew of people saying, "Oh, did you hear about the writings of," and then so and so and so and so. That was Scripture that was left out of the Bible. And that kind of cycle has happened over and over and over again for thousands of years, and yet the Bible still stands as it is, complete. Those extra writings do not even claim to be Scriptures, yet people are looking for another way to measure so they do not have to listen to what the Bible says. So let's just get over that and show ourselves approved unto God by following just what he says in his word. And the sooner we come to grips with, we've got to show ourselves approved unto God based upon his word, not those extra things that man keeps coming up with, then the sooner our lives will be put in order and become the joy that God intended for us to have. So let's just quit being distracted by all these things that man has come up with, and let's go to the Bible for our answers to be able to show ourselves approved unto God. My friend, if you leave this life without being ready, there is eternity at stake. So it is important that we make certain of what God says here and now, and let's listen to what God says. And then once we know what God says, then we can compare it with everything else that's coming up. And then we might be able to recognize right and wrong and how to show ourselves approved to God. It's time for us to take our last break. Now, while we are at break, please do not miss out. Go ahead and get this Bible correspondence course in the mail to you. We've had several to enroll today, but there's a lot more of you I know that are interested in this. So don't wait until it is too late to learn what God would have us to be and to do in this life. Don't miss out on this. You very well, those of you that are very religious, you know what I'm talking about. You continue to discover things in God's Word. My friend, there are things that maybe you have never seen yourself. So don't miss out in finding what God would have us to be and to do here and now in this life. Enroll in this course. Here's the details on it. While we are at break, don't miss out. If you've already called in your question, great. But if not, take this opportunity to call in your question at 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are back live now. Now's your last chance to call in your question, so don't miss out. 308-9564. There's only one line available, so if you call right now, just let it continue ringing until we get to you. Go ahead and call 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We're at crunch time at the end of the program. The questions tend to pile up, so get your pencil ready. We may just be able to just give you the references or the answers. Again, 725-9283 for the text line and 308-9564 for the voice line. Nick?
We have a text question coming in. We do appreciate all the calls that came in. It says, is 666 mentioned in the Bible? Last three digits for this caller, 746. Absolutely, it is mentioned in the book of Revelation, and the reference is Revelation chapter 13 and verse 18. I hope that's been helpful to you. Join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. Again, that number is 308-9564. Again, we are at the last. This is the last segment, so we have probably somewhere around 10 to 12 minutes left, and so you want to go ahead and get your question in quickly, and we will do our best to let the Bible speak. 308-9564.
We have the caller calling in this question, no name. Their question is, I've seen a white cross in the sky and blood spots on my room walls. Can these things mean anything? Is God trying to tell me something? Well, let me first of all say to you, any event that happens in this life that may lead me to consider what God wants for me may be a good thing. Now, is it of God? I do not know. Can't answer that. There's nothing in the Bible that says anything about that. So there's no verse of Scripture for that. But if by chance, any event, whether it be driving down the road, a dog bite, or getting sick, if it causes you to seek after God, then I would say praise God about that. Because we need to seek after God. And God promises us in Matthew 7 and verse 7, seek and you will find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, ask and it shall be given. And that's exactly what God wants to happen to us. He wants us to find Him. And He's not far from any of us. So, yes, God is trying to tell me something and you something and all of us something. We've got to go to His Word to find the answer, though. If He singled you out for a special revelation, then that would make God a respecter of persons. And so, therefore, that's not what's going on. We have His Word right here in the Bible. And thus, this program is let the Bible speak, let God speak. And so thus we're able to find what God wants for us in His Word. And so we've got to go there for the answer. And then we might be able to, that whatever happened there, become a blessing to you. Let's go to the Bible for the answer and listen to what God says. Be sure you enroll in the correspondence course. You will learn things in that. You might say, well, I'm not a big student. I don't like to read and study. This is not a lot of reading involved in this. but you must be having a heart that you're seeking answers from God himself in his word. So don't miss out on this. Again, the operator standing by at 553-5157. That is the number, and you can get this course to you in the mail. And so let's let God be directing us through his word, and to him be the glory. Again, the number 3089564. Nick, you have a question?
Yes, we have a text question. It comes in, last three digits 630. It says, can you speak about the gifts of the Spirit? I'm going to give you the high level view of it, and it really comes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14. Now, I would encourage you to read all three chapters, but the simple answer is all gifts come from one source. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible says in verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And then there's a diversity of activities, but the same God who works all in all. And as he begins to talk in chapter 12, he shows that, you know, no matter what gift a person had during this time period, that they were all part of the same body of Christ. And so whether they had it or didn't have it, it didn't make them better. In verse 31, he says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. And then in chapter 13, all of chapter 13, he is describing this best gift, which is love. And then in chapter 14, that he goes back to legislate, to give law concerning how they were to use these gifts. And the end result is that they, whatever was going to be done among them was supposed to be done with decently and orderly. In chapter 14, verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. What's interesting to point out is in chapter 13, toward somewhere around verse 8 and 9 and 10, he talks about how that these gifts were going to fail. These gifts were not going to be in place for all time. They were going to come to an end. And so while they had it, it was necessary for them to use it a certain way, and that's what comes out in chapter 14. I hope that's been helpful to you. 308-9564, that's the number to call, 308-9564.
We have two calls coming in with similar questions. The first question is, if a husband is unfaithful and gets divorced, then marries another woman, is the second wife in sin for marrying a man who cheated on his first wife? I believe you'll find that that is correct. That is sin, based upon Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 12. Matthew 19, verses 3 through 12. And so I encourage you to read that and analyze that very carefully. You do not want to play around with covenants in this life, especially the marriage covenant. Then a similar question, if a couple is divorced without adultery, then marries another spouse, but each of them divorces the second spouses, can the original marriage be remarried? Well, again, the same answer, Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 12. I would encourage you to augment that, to see what God's attitude about that parallel situation in the Old Testament. Not that we'll be judged by the Old Testament, but Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 1 through 4, talks about that parallel situation, which would at least, as you read that, again, that's Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4, it raises a red flag that God was not for that in the Old Testament. So we should carefully consider that today. Is it possible for us to live as eunuchs the rest of our life and go to heaven? Absolutely. That's in Matthew 19, verses 3 through 12. Some may need to do that. It's hard to unscramble scrambled eggs or put eggshells once have been cracked into pieces back together, and that's exactly what people do sometimes with their marriages. We're about to run out of time. Can you answer that question?
I'm going to try to sum this up in just 15 seconds. Can we as people put God first and be able to change things in government, such as the economy being bad and high gas prices? God does support government. In Romans chapter 13, you just read that where it says, let every soul be subject to governing authorities. So God does support government in that sense. As long as we don't put anything in front of God, then we'll be okay. We cannot put anything in front of God, and it cannot conflict our service to God.
We want to say thank you so very much for your participation today in today's broadcast. We are so glad that you've taken out time to join us as we've gone to the Bible for the answers. And obviously, you have a desire to show yourself approved unto God. And thus, if you're that kind of individual that we talked about in Acts chapter 8 that was diligent enough to go 1,000 miles just to serve God, humbly asking questions, industrial enough to be able to find Scripture, own Scripture, and hospitable enough to invite a perfect stranger up to and eager enough to ask questions on what God says, please don't miss out on getting the correspondence course. It is yours absolutely free. Call the operator standing by. Here are the details on that. And until next week, we want to thank you very much for joining us as we have Let the Bible Speak.